there are a lot of reasons some people choose cannabis. Whether you're tapping into your creative side or just trying to relax, the one thing weed won't do is make it any more safe or legal to drive afterwards. It can slow reaction times, for example, and if you thought a few eye drops helped you get away with it, know that people can tell when you've been smoking marijuana, including law enforcement. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high. Get a DUI.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
You look at the competition at Loch, and then you think of the fact that Ryan Baird had a concussion, then you think of guys like Tom O'Hearn coming through the system. He probably needed to come on and be really explosive and dynamic.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
I'd say Vicky Wall is with us. Vicky, good morning, good evening to you, wherever you are in the world.
Good afternoon, yeah. Good morning, whatever. We'll take it all.
Yeah, how's it going?
Yeah, all good, all good. Can't complain.
You're celebrating victory in the AFLW. It's been, I'd say, the most interesting 18 months that any Irish sports person has had. So it finishes with a trophy lift and a medal and scoring in the final. That's pretty good.
Yeah, no, I can't complain. We had a good season, undefeated. I think it was the first time to be done across men and women. So we were pretty happy, can't complain. And to finish it off in that way against Brisbane, who had beaten North Melbourne last year, it's always a good way to finish.
Tell us, when did you rejoin that squad this year? What point in the season did you get back?
2 weeks before the season. So I got there in August, and the season kind of started 2 weeks after I got there.
So did you miss all the hard parts of pre-season?
I did miss a good chunk of the pre-season, yeah. So I got a bit of slagging about that, yeah. But the girls were at a practice game in Sydney the day I got in, so I got eased into it nicely, so I couldn't complain.
A bit like Shane O'Donnell taking the league off next year, you can go, here, listen, yeah. I'm never doing pre-season again. It's not,
just
you don't need to.
Pre-season, yeah, straight into competition, yeah, that's the way to go.
Did you have any time off over the last 18 months between rugby, Gaelic football, straight into AFLW?
I haven't had a huge amount of time off, no. We get a few days here and there, but it's been good. I can't complain. I don't like to have too much time off.
But in terms of actually getting fully fit for each of the individual sports that you've been playing, was the pre-season and coming off the back of whatever else you'd been doing, was it actually unnecessary? Or did you feel like as the season went on, you could identify, I'm not at quite fully peak physical fitness, or you had to play your way into it? How did that whole thing work?
Well, I would have done obviously the full pre-season with the Rugby Sevens last year, so I'd say we had a fairly good base of that. And then, yeah, I suppose like when you're in competition throughout the year, it obviously changes filters with what you're doing. So coming into North Melbourne, like I was managed for the first few weeks, and even my game time percentage-wise, the first few weeks would have been lower towards the latter end of the season. It would have been lower than what I was playing towards the latter end of the season. Obviously, they have all their rules about flight times and when you can go into full training and things like that after a long flight. So, I was managed pretty well. Obviously, very different sport coming back to AFL, just running loads and stuff like that, very different in the Sevens. It was interesting and definitely interesting to see how going from different, like even the training lengths and stuff like that vary a lot.
And did you hit peak form then as the season went on? In your own mind, did you feel like, yeah, okay, I'm as good now at AFLW as I have been at any point?
I reckon it definitely took a few games to get back into it. Just, those set things that come second nature and the kind of flow state and kind of not thinking, those moments definitely took a little while to come back in. But it was good. I loved playing it. Like I was very, very grateful to be back over and in that kind of position, and to be getting a starting position and playing was just, I really enjoyed the whole season. I just had a great time.
Was it automatic that you were going to go back to AFLW? Was that always part of the plan anyway, or how did that come about?
Yeah, no, it had been part of the plan. North Melbourne were very good to me when I kind of asked for the opportunity to try the rugby sevens for the year, and I just went on the inactive list. So it was always the plan to go back for this season, and I was delighted to get the opportunity.
It's all a bit mad in retrospect, the whole thing, right?
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, it's absolutely mental. Yeah,
like if you were to go back now and tap yourself on the shoulder and say, "This is going to be the adventure, and this is what's going to happen," would you be like, "Ah, I'm all right," or like, "Absolutely, bring it on"? What's your reflection now?
Well, I probably wouldn't believe it, maybe as an overall kind of point of view. But I'd say absolutely bring it on would be my outlook of it all. I think, you know, you lose the chances you don't take. And I suppose I'd be fairly adamant that, like, if this year was to go the same way all over again, I would do it again. Learned so much. Difficult times, good times, obviously winning stuff like that. This is obviously class, but just like getting to play on different teams and meet new people and different cultures, and definitely different cultures in terms of playing on an Australian team and an Irish team. It's just been a whirlwind of a year, but it's been class. I've enjoyed every second of it.
What did you learn?
What have I learned? I reckon the biggest thing is just kind of have a broader perspective on a team. I reckon I've been fairly lucky with Meath and, you know, being involved on big days in terms of actually playing and actually setting foot on a field, but then kind of shifting momentum and shifting my mindset in the sevens that, you know, I didn't really see a lot of game time this year in the sevens. But, you know, you're still on a team, you're still playing a role, like you could still be going to competitions and the impact you can still have on a team. Just a different dynamic. So I reckon probably have a better perspective on everybody on a team and everyone's role on a team, rather than being a bit more pigeonholed and kind of selfish, maybe.
Less crack, getting less game time, I suspect.
I mean, obviously it is, like, as in I'm never going to say I don't want to be on the field. That's why I'm there to play. I don't think I'd be where I am if I didn't want to. From under 12s asking, is it my time to go on, to now I'm always going to want to be on the pitch. Obviously it's a different kind of experience.
And is that annoying? Does it give you fuel for the fire? Is it somewhat humbling? How do you assess what that is that you've kind of gone through?
Probably all of the above. Definitely ego check, which is never a bad thing, I don't think. Definitely adds fuel to the fire. Like, I think it's probably one of the best things that's happened to me in sport over the last few years. Like, as in, you know, sometimes being told no and being told, you know, things you need to work on and things you need to get better at is, you know, you get to decide how that goes. And I've been pretty happy with how I've handled myself this year. So, yeah, no, I'm just excited to keep going.
The rugby thing is such a different proposition, Vicky, from the other sports that you're doing. And it wasn't the case in your case, you're a former player of the year, you've won All-Stars, you've won the lot now, it turns out, in the other sports. But this bit of trying to make the Olympics, and like, it's such a cliff edge in a way that if you were dropped from another game, well, there's always next week, whereas this was obviously the push, the drive. You were in for 9 months, I think, from, was it September last year? You were in for 9 months to try and impress and make the squad. How difficult was that bit? And can you tell us how that eventually came about in terms of you realise, or the conversation happens one day about you've tried it, you've done everything, here's the feedback on that, but this Olympics isn't going to happen for you?
Yeah, I suppose, look, I went into it with a very open mindset, but I was also acutely aware of how difficult it was going to be. Like, I was never under any illusion that it was going to be handed to me. And you go into it, it's like, the transition from Gaelic to AFLW is a whole different ballgame in terms of rugby. Like, I'd never played it. Tackle tech, so different. Just a very different ballgame. So it was kind of like ticking off small things as I went, you know, getting picked for a first tournament, obviously that type of stuff. Then actually, you know, you can get picked for a tournament, doesn't mean you're guaranteed to set foot on the pitch over there, all those type of things. So just kind of being more process oriented rather than outcome, which definitely was probably a shift for me. Then, yeah, obviously you get told you're not going to the Olympics. You still have to train for another 4 or 5, 6 weeks after that with the squad. So, I mean, it's an interesting dynamic. And, you know, I'd look back on it and I'd say, yeah, would I do that again? Yeah, would I not do that again? Yeah, like, this, it's a very good, like, reflection for me as a sports person. So, yeah, I reckon, you know, learnt a lot. And then, like, to its core and all of it, like, obviously it didn't have success going to the Olympics, but like going and seeing it was such a fulfillment and enjoyment of seeing the girls there. And then I switch it and I've obviously had fulfillment and enjoyment with winning with North Melbourne, but like overarching is just like the people that are involved in it. I know that sounds like such a cliche, and obviously you win, it's easier to say those type of things, but like getting to play sport and experience so many different things with like I've seen more countries this year than I have probably ever before in my life. Like, so, yeah, no, I'm just like, it's just, I just love being around, being on teams and seeing how they operate and seeing how, you know, we always joke saying every sports person's a freak, but like what makes them that freak? Like, so I just love seeing what drives everyone that I'm playing with and how I can learn off them and get better.
Did you say you were training with, they'd said to you, you're not making it, but you had to train for another 6 weeks?
I think it was definitely the guts of 4 weeks, but I'm not sure the exact time frame. But yeah, we had to train for another good while after that with the team, yeah.
Where was your head at when that was going on? Was it, I'm going to go out there and prove them they've made a mistake here? Or where was your head at?
Yeah, there was definitely a few conversations just at training, you know, or going to sleep the night before training and being like, you know, what can I do tomorrow just to, you know, first of all, get my own anger out, but just, you know, prove a point. But like, you just have to shift it. Like, as in, it's not about you. It's not about like, you know, individuals. It's like there was probably, I think, 6 or 7 of us maybe. So, and like, you're still have to prep that team to go in the best nick over, like we're in control of that, you know, that kind of way. So kind of just shifting all of that. And like, you have your people outside of, you kind of have to rely on people outside of the sport to be able to, you know, have conversations with. You don't want to be negative to the squad and things like that. So yeah, it was just interesting, like an interesting dynamic of how it works.
Who are those people for you, if I can ask, that you're chatting to and venting, I suppose we use that word?
Yeah, I suppose Dad would always be probably top of the list. He's honest but fair is how I'd probably describe him. You know, he has a fairly strong moral compass, but he's obviously he's my dad, so he's going to be a bit biased when it comes to some things. But now, like throughout the year, I would have soundboarded off Mum and Dad a lot, just in terms of like the shift in the sport and the challenges in it. And I live with Shelley back home. She plays at Meath, so she was still doing the Meath football thing while I was doing the rugby thing, and we were always chatting about, you know, the differences in it. And I'd never had as much spare time in my life, like, as into, obviously you're a professional athlete, but like in comparison to her coming home from me training at 11:30, I'd hear the door going and I'd be up before she's gone to work and stuff like that. So yeah, it was just interesting, even people, my friends and family's opinions of how I handle and stuff. It was just, yeah, it was cool.
Is rugby part of your future, do you think?
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I reckon I'd like to give it another whack. I don't feel like, you know, I've given it everything I can. I've probably only started to understand and get a few things towards the last few months. So yeah, I'd like to think so anyway.
Rugby in Ireland is obviously on the verge of undergoing something of a revolution. There will be 4 professional women's teams at some point over the next 3 or 4 years. The 15s game, it feels like, is being taken seriously again by the IRFU. They've started to have success, they've started to invest. Will you do more AFLW in the future and then come back, or is it sooner rather than later that you think you'd end up back in the rugby system?
Yeah, it's a good question. I suppose I'll have conversations on home next week. So maybe the IRFU have a few chats. But yeah, I suppose the way the rugby system is in Ireland, I suppose there's more players kind of coming across from different sports and things like that. So, yeah, obviously I would like to continue as well playing with AFLW. I don't think I'm done with that yet either. So just see how it goes.
Right. So there's an opportunity, hopefully, to dovetail between the two.
Hopefully, anyway, yeah.
But Meath fans are like, come on, where's our share of Vicky here?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a massive thing next year. Like, I think it's going to really, I'm probably a bit nervous to see how much the AFLW is going to affect LGFA next year, just in terms of the way the league is going over in Australia. It's coming forward each year, adding games and stuff like that. So I think this year, honestly, could be, I know, I think people have said it the last few years, but it probably could be the last year of doing both. Which is obviously, you know, I think there's been another 6 or 7 Irish girls signed in the last few weeks. So it's going to have a big impact, I reckon, on LGFA going forward. So it's definitely a topic I think will be looked into further.
When you were like 18, 19, 20, playing high level sports, did you think this was going to be possible, that you'd be able to travel the world and play professional sport?
No, never. No. When I was 18, 19, we were getting relegated, losing games with me. We weren't really doing a huge amount. So it was kind of, that was my own. I never looked further than Meath, to be honest. It was always just Meath and seeing how we could progress and knowing that we had, like, the players we had. So no, I definitely didn't. So I think that's why this year, after, you know, obviously like a tough year, but like doing a lot of reflection and just being immensely grateful to be playing sport and doing what I'm doing.
As a parent, you want what's best for your teen. You want them to grow and thrive in this world. But you also want to make sure they're staying safe. That's why Instagram is introducing teen accounts, with automatic protections for who can contact teens and the content they can see. Instagram teen accounts, built-in limits for teens, and peace of mind for parents. Learn more at instagram.com/teenaccounts.
From the makers of Rice-A-Roni comes Macaroni, a creamy, delicious boxed mac and cheese that's not just good, it's cheesy good. Macaroni will please even the pickiest eaters with two magnificent flavors that will melt your heart, creamy cheddar and creamy white cheddar. If you love cheese, you'll love Macaroni by the makers of Rice-A-Roni. If you don't love cheese, well, that's just unbelievable. Try Macaroni. It's cheesy good.
Macaroni, the San Francisco treat.
After the Olympics happens, how quickly do you want to get back into playing something else? And how what benefit is it to you now in retrospect to be able to go and, I think you came off the bench for Meath in the All-Ireland quarter-final and then basically head out to Australia very soon afterwards. That mm-hmm. allows you to get all that out of your system and also take some of the lessons, I suspect, that you'd learned from rugby.
Yeah, I was conscious, though, of not kind of just making it a, right, let's get on to the next thing and forget about this, because I think it was important to actually, you know, think about it and process it all rather than just saying, yeah, like, in with Meath for a week, you know, that stopped fairly quickly and then straight over to Oz. And it's easy to be so distracted. But then, like, if this season had finished, and I think if I hadn't dealt with, you know, the Olympics not being chosen, all that type of stuff, I don't think that would be good for me as a person. So, yeah, I definitely did a lot of work of trying to, you know, just feel the feelings and get through it and stuff like that. But then definitely was very welcomed to have Australia as the next kind of challenge and touch point. And I was really looking forward, like, just after how well North Melbourne had treated me, looking forward to getting back and knowing, you know, the players and the people that we have involved in the club. I was pretty excited to get back over to Australia. So, yeah, no, it was class.
Because we talked about the grand final there. It goes really well. You did mention that it was the opposition who had beaten them in the final last year. And would you have missed the final last year?
I watched it.
But you weren't. So you.
Oh, sorry. No, I wasn't there.
You'd left to go and play rugby at that stage.
Yeah.
That must have been kind of annoying to watch that game last year, thinking, "Jesus, I might be able to have an impact here."
Yeah, it was a weird one. All right, watching it on my phone. We were on the way to the, like, Dubai Invitationals, and it was strange because you're trying to obviously, you know, keep the emotion out of it. But it was strange. Like, I was checking it, and then we were, like, going to the warm up and coming back, changing our jerseys, and I was kind of grabbing my phone, which I normally wouldn't right before a game, but just being like, I saw they lost, and I was like, ah, shite. Like, but it was strange. And then obviously, like that, you feel you kind of let people down a little bit, just in terms of, you know, could have been there and all those type of things. But I suppose it's kind of the, you have to choose your guilt in that sense, and I did.
Choose your guilt. It's like it's like you're just getting pulled loads of different ways, and then this year you get the opportunity to go back and not make amends, but, like, absolutely make amends and win it with them.
Yeah, I suppose the, like, media over in Australia, like, it's very different to, I suppose, what we used to in the GAA, you know, constantly, you know, you're undefeated and, you know, you're favourites and you're this. And I just, it's a lot more of a bravado and stuff like that as well. So I definitely would have been conscious, just even my own head. And I know in a few of the team meetings, kind of just maybe giving everyone a bit of a reality check that we just, like, we didn't have any silverware, like, we hadn't won anything. And even before round one this year, like, we'd never beaten Brisbane, and then obviously beat them twice this year. So, like, there was still a lot of things, like, there was external noise, but I think there was still a lot of things internally that we actually hadn't done or achieved. So it was interesting. I do find the dynamic, and maybe it's not maybe as Irish as the way they talk about sports and teams and stuff over there. So I'm always a bit hesitant to be getting ahead of ourselves, but no, it was good.
And would you have been like that before this year and the setback with the rugby anyway? As
in,
here, everybody, cool the jets, stop talking ourselves up here. There's a reality. We need to understand that everything's not going to go straight forward.
A mix of very much like acknowledge, like, I think I'd be very much like acknowledge and talk about wanting to win and doing those things, but then parking that and then kind of being like, okay, but we actually still have to do it. Like, as in, it's one thing talking about wanting to win and do it, but then you actually have to go out and do that on the pitch. So kind of a mix of both, maybe.
I love that choose your guilt, by the way. That's I think there'll be a lot of people resonating with that sport and outside of it this morning. Parking your natural sort of, the fact that you've grown up in Gaelic games and then that came naturally to you, the fact that you adapted to Aussie rules and then had to get to know rugby, if you can park that, which of the three is the most difficult sport to play, would you say?
Rugby sevens, yeah.
Right. Even outside of the fact that you were just coming cold to it just as a sport. And what are the reasons for that?
Well, I suppose it's a difference of the number of players on the field and how easily you can be isolated, and maybe, you know, there could be a highlight reel of you getting stepped and made a fool of more so than in AFLW or Gaelic. I think maybe power and numbers and stuff like that, it's just a very, very different game, I suppose. Even tactically, technically, there's a lot more set plays and things like that. And yeah, obviously, I mean, if I can completely wipe my brain of, you know, the... You're playing GAA for however many years and being cold turkey at the rugby sevens, is probably a bit difficult to separate it. But yeah, I reckon rugby sevens for me.
Slightly related, if you've achieved an awful lot in the game, we mentioned it already about your, obviously, the All-Ireland win, your personal accolades, now the Aussie rules win. If you have a bucket list for the, you're 26, I think, you could have another potentially 10 years more at this stuff, Vicky, but if you had a bucket list of stuff that you want to achieve between now and the end of your career, what's on it?
Well, I suppose staying injury free is definitely one. I want to, I always want to be successful, but I think, you know, so does every other team. Like, I was kind of reflecting after we won the grand final, and obviously, like, at the start of the year, like it's just obviously every team goes out to do that, and like, I'm fairly lucky to have been involved with great teams, but just like, I just want to be happy playing whatever sport I'm playing, and in a team where there's just good people. Like, obviously I want to win more. There's no denying that. Like, I'd like to add more to the list and do more as well. Like, I suppose, unfortunately, female athletes definitely have to look at career outside a lot more than maybe the male athletes in our sport. So putting a big focus on my, I suppose, career this year and pushing that on and kind of not letting that fall by the wayside. So there's definitely a few things to tick off on that. And probably the main things that are popping into my head.
How do you do that? Is that, are you studying? Are you, what's the, how do you manage? Because you're, we've already established, quite busy.
Yeah, in Australia, there's a bit of a tricky situation for a lot of the Irish girls. The visas we're on, we can actually only work within the club. So I suppose we're trying to do a bit of work on that to be able to work outside of it. But I'm doing a course in sports psychology, just a kind of a year long course in that at the moment. So keep me ticking for the time being.
You obviously, I think I've spoken before about accessing sports psychology along the way and using that to help you deal with whatever the demands were going to be. Can you talk to us a bit about that? Because it feels like particularly the team dynamics that you've been part of are going to make you a brilliant sports psychologist whenever you decide to do that a bit more. And I think that experience of being an absolute dominant superstar in one and then going and starting another sport from scratch twice, certainly is an unusual career path, which will allow you to have, I think, empathy with almost everybody in the squad at some stage.
Yeah, I suppose I've worked with some good sports psychologists, like through Kelly Fay with Meath, and then obviously this year with Sport Ireland, and even over in Australia. I think even certain things I've seen is like, it has to be buy-in. If it's a team sport, you know, it's interesting. I've worked as a sports psychologist that you can tell straight away the team just doesn't believe what they're saying. And then the opposite, they tell you to run through a brick wall and no one would question it. And you just do it because they're like, you just trust them with everything. And then I'm just so intrigued by how, you know, obviously we get to see people, players training every single day, and I get to look and cross and see like one of the most naturally talented, unbelievable players who, you know, can do everything in training. And then like, if from my perspective, in big games, in big moments when like stuff's at that crunching moment, and if you like, they kind of disappear or do things a little bit, like I'm just fascinated to why that happens and things like that. And just even team dynamics, like, AFLW squad has 32 players this year, you know, 32 women, like it's very different personalities, very different things, you know, you have to adapt to, it's just stuff that's offside the field, things like that. So yeah, I'm just fascinated by it all. Even feedback, I know every coach or manager I've worked with I'd be big on feedback. And just, you know, in women's sport, there's a lot of male coaches and managers, and I think it's just interesting seeing how maybe sometimes male coaches think or perceive how women want to receive feedback, and then have an honest conversation with them and saying, you know, don't maybe need that fluff. You know, let's have real conversations and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm just am so fascinated by it all.
In the Sport Ireland context, was that, as that was obviously with the rugby team, would you have accessed sports psychology to get up to speed? And then after you didn't make the team as well, is that kind of an ongoing thing?
So that was, yeah, there was obviously within RFU, but then there was one separate, for, I suppose, athletes that hadn't made the Olympics. Like, it was a specific kind of, access to that, and found it hugely beneficial. I suppose it's kind of almost like closing the box on a little bit, like, as in, I think you used the analogy of, you know, like, you know what works for you, you have those tools in the box, like, you can close it over, doesn't mean you have to leave it there forever, but just to be able to know that you kind of got through it and how, what worked for you, what didn't, to apply it to future situations. So.
And then going to Paris and watching it, because this could be like, oh, here's what you could have won, or this could be, oh, this is actually great. So Is it a bit of both?
Yeah, definitely a bit of both. Obviously mixed emotions first day, you know, seeing them run out against GB, and just that, like, I think we'd all lost our voices after the first game, just from the roaring and screaming and stuff. And even the end of their journey in the Olympics, when we hadn't got to see the girls much that week. So getting to see a few of the girls on the edge of the pitch, and just on both ends, it was pure emotion, just because obviously, you know, you're somewhat part of it, and, you know, them obviously not achieving what they're capable of and things like that. And just even you're kind of, it was a strange sensation, I suppose, watching it on, almost as like you're part of it, but then you're so separate from it at that same time.
With all that in mind, could you play 15s, do you think? Would that be of interest?
We won't add anything else into the mix at the moment. I'm content with that. Still trying to learn at the time being.
All right, Vicky, it's been great talking to you. It's always fascinating, because I think this is one of those journeys that if you were to daydream as a kid about what you'd like to do as a professional sports person, you're doing that and actually able to do it at an incredibly high level, and always so honest with everything that's going on. So we wish you the very best of luck. Enjoy whatever small period of downtime you have next, and yeah. Everybody's watching whatever's coming next. Thanks a million.
Thanks a million, guys. Thanks very much.
Cheers, Vicky. Take care.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
You look at the competition at Loch, and then you think of the fact that Ryan Baird had a concussion, then you think of guys like Tom O'Hearn coming through the system. He probably needed to come on and be really explosive and dynamic.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
There are a lot of reasons some people choose cannabis. Whether you're tapping into your creative side or just trying to relax. The one thing weed won't do is make it any more safe or legal to drive afterwards. It can slow reaction times, for example, and if you thought a few eye drops helped you get away with it, know that people can tell when you've been smoking marijuana, including law enforcement. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high. Get a DUI.